I got one client came to me and said, I'm making about $500,000 a year and I am tired of chasing the dollars. And part of me still wants to do it. I said, great. Let's talk to that part. Let's honor it. Let's bring it out and find out what it needs. And let's see if we can do a deal between that part of you and the part of you that wants more balance. The part of you that wants to create a program for prison inmates. The part of you that wants to leave a legacy. The part of you that wants to be a better parent. Let's work out a deal so you can have it all.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the podcast designed for business owners, marketers, and entrepreneurs wanting to make an impact through the work that they do. I'm your host, Seth Silvers, and my passion is building brands that last by marketing the stories. On this podcast, we share stories with you of people who are growing their businesses the right way, and we teach you how to grow what you're doing through storytelling and authentic marketing. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. On today's episode, we're talking about something that is incredibly important and close to my heart, because the episode's focus today is something that has crippled me for many years. The business I started 6 years ago is not the business I have today. And along the journey, I had a hard time focusing as a CEO. I wanted to be all things to all people. I wanted to serve everybody I could. And along that journey, I failed to focus often. So to talk about that, I have with me David Wood, who is the founder of Focus.CEO, which means that he's a life and business coach for business owners. And David, you were just telling me before we hit record that somebody that recently hired you said that you were more like a Yoda to them than what they imagined a business coach to be. And that was an incredible compliment to you. So welcome to the show, and tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, thank you. I was thrilled. I mean, firstly, like, I did a pivot maybe 3 or 4 years ago because I used to coach coaches. So I'd built this huge coaching practice and was number one on Google for life coaching, and people like, show us how to do it. So that was my life for a long time. And then I pivoted, and breaking into any new niche is tricky and it takes time. And so I've been really putting all my attention on business owners for say 3 or 4 years now. And it was so lovely that someone had posted on a forum that I don't belong to, so I couldn't have seen it. And three people sent me a screenshot of that post. Two of them were past clients who'd recommended me. And then another one is the guy who followed their recommendation and then hired me and then said, I wanted to follow up on this thread and let you know what I'm experiencing. And they all sent it to me. And he said, it seems more like I've hired Yoda than a business coach. We'll probably go way beyond our 6-month contract because I'm getting so much out of it. And what I love about it is, you know, when you hear focus and you hear business, you probably assume, oh, well, we're going to grow your business and we're going to help you make more money. And that's a reasonable assumption. But the only reason I do that, well, aside from the fact that it's fun for me, is because then it can free people up to really look at, how do I want my life to look?
Yeah.
So yes, let's start with doubling your revenue so that that's not constantly nagging at you and you've got basic survival handled. And then I want to know, if you had 5 years to live, what would you change about how you're living?
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's really
interesting. I'm way more interested in that.
Yeah, that's such an interesting, I think, place, way to approach it, because a lot of people, they want to grow revenue, but I think you're almost saying, well, let's grow your revenue, but let's grow your revenue so that you aren't stressed and worried about your business functioning, so that then that can be a tool to pursue things that you really love. Is that kind of accurate?
We get lost. We get tunnel vision because there's a biological drive to survive, which is great, and got to get up, got to go to work, got to put food on the table. And I don't want to ever feel that feeling of like, how am I going to pay the bills? Like that's a lousy feeling. But when does that switch off? Mm-hmm. When, like, does it take until you're retired to go, what the hell did I just do with my life? Does it take a near-death experience? Does it take listening to the Small Business Storytellers podcast? What does it take? Does it take hiring a coach for you to ask the question, how much is enough to cover my basic security needs and to feel like I have financial integrity? And for me, financial integrity is my bank account's going up, even if it's by a dollar a week. If I'm going in that direction, I feel some sense of peace. But how much is enough? I got one client came to me and said, I'm making about $500,000 a year and I am tired of chasing the dollars. And part of me still wants to do it. I said, great. Let's talk to that part. Let's honor it. Let's bring it out and find out what it needs. And let's see if we can do a deal between that part of you and the part of you that wants more balance, the part of you that wants to create a program for prison inmates, the part of you that wants to leave a legacy, the part of you that wants to be a better parent. Let's work out a deal so you can have it all. And now he's so much more at peace, because on the days where he's focused on work, he's doing his production cycles and he has no guilt. He's like, this is what's allocated to generating cash. And then these 2 days are for new projects and creativity. This day is self-care. This day is Father's Day, you know, or my kid's day. But he created a balance. And this brings us back to this key word of focus. We have a neocortex in our brain. We have something other animals don't have. We can create time, which is a curse and a blessing. But we can imagine a future and say, how am I going to maximize my experience of life? Too often we don't use that. We just get up, we check our email, we have our cup of coffee in the same coffee mug we've had it in the last 15 years, we brush our teeth the same way, and we go about reacting. And that's why I love this question. If you were diagnosed today and given 5 years to live, would you keep living the way you're living? If so, congratulations. That's wonderful. If you would make changes, I would say maybe we get a start on that now instead of waiting 20 years, because you may not have 20 years.
Yeah, that's fascinating. When was that moment for you? You talk about this moment and kind of when is enough, where we have something shift, where we realize we kind of shift to being maybe more purpose-driven than just revenue-driven. You've been in the business space for decades. When was that moment for you that really shifted things?
I love that. Well, out of school, I was just going for success. That's what, you know, I mean, what else are you going to do?
And where'd you go to school?
Pardon?
Where was school for you?
I went to school in Cessnock High School, which is near Sydney, Australia.
Okay.
And I was really good at math, like really good. And so we just figured I'd be an accountant. And then we found out that an actuary, which most people don't know what it is, and that's fair enough, it's kind of an underground profession, was much rarer, harder to qualify, paid more. And if anyone knew what it was, there was more prestige associated with it. Most people don't know, but the people who do know, they're like, really? That's what you did? So I did that and I got transferred to New York at the age of 24. I got paid to go to college. I then had a job waiting for me. I said, thanks, but I think I want to travel the world for a year. They said, well, why don't you work for a year first, earn some money, get some bank behind you, then go traveling, you'll have a job waiting for you. So you're starting to get a sense of the privilege I had. And then I qualified as an actuary and I'm consulting to Sony Music and Ford and Exxon and Procter and Gamble at the age of 24. And I wasn't happy. I actually had stress. I had pain in my belly and I didn't know what it was until the doctor suggested it was stress. And someone said, why don't you try this personal growth program called the Landmark Forum? And I was like, I went along. I'm like, they all wear name tags and they smile way too much. This has got to be some kind of a cult. But they cracked my heart open. They showed me that making a difference in the world was an actual job. It was a thing that people did. It wasn't just about the money. If money was my highest goal, I'd be an investment banker. And I imagine I'd be pulling in $2 million a year. It's not, apparently, I don't need that. I need a quiet home with a view. I need a community of positive people around me. And I need my dog. And it'd be nice to have a life partner. We're still working on that. And a cat. But I don't need, someone recently said, what can I buy you in the $10,000 to $15,000 range as a thank you gift? After a year of reflection, I could not come up with one thing, given I already had a car. I couldn't come up with one thing that I would spend even someone else's money on that cost that much. So it's just not my highest value. Mm-hmm. I think love and connection, and particularly self-love, and service and play. These are my values. And I still want to be successful. I still want loads of money in the bank account. I love seeing my account go up. I love having a client say, you're not charging enough. I actually need to pay you more. Love that stuff. But it's not the main driver that gets me going. If it was, I wouldn't have started acting 5 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me about that, because it sounds like there's some pursuits that you're chasing down now that they're because you want to, and they're because you have this curiosity and you want to pursue them. So tell me a little bit about the acting. Let's go down that rabbit trail for a minute.
Yeah, well, I like talking about dreams and I like talking about courage, and they go so well together, don't they? It's funny, I'm the self-expression guy. I'm the one that coaches people to find what they really want and bring it out. But for 10 years, I had a secret dream to star in a major film. And I almost never told people about it. I thought one day I'd like to move to LA and do a 1 or 2 year diploma, like a full on, be trained as an actor and be good at my craft and just see what happens. But I almost never told anyone because I didn't know if I was going to do it, and I didn't want to look silly. I didn't want anyone to say, oh, you said you were going to do that and you didn't do it. And then a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago, I started speaking it. I said to a friend, I think I'm going to move to LA in May. And she said, oh, I did that once. So we got chatting about it. And a week later, she called me and said, well, I'm going to audition for a play. Do you want to come? And I said, yes. And it was kind of like, part of me is like, no, why would you do that? You haven't even done an acting class yet. And another part of me was like, well, this is what it sounds like when the universe knocks. That's the sound it makes. Do you want to come to this audition? Now, it took a lot of courage because I was going to be on the spot in front of a director, and I honestly didn't know how to audition. I don't know if I knew how to act, but I didn't know how to audition. So I started thinking, well, how can I get more comfortable with this? And listeners, you can apply this to anything. You can apply this to your new business, to asking for more sex in the bedroom, for growing your business, for following a dream. I asked myself, what could I do to make this more comfortable and to get better prepared? And a whole bunch of things started coming to me. I can have friends come over and read with me. I can ask for the excerpt that we're going to be using for the audition and memorize every one of those scenes. No one else who showed up to those auditions had memorized the scenes. I had it in my head. I then went on Google and I looked up how to do a German accent, so that I could do the vampire slayer with a German accent. And then I hired a coach. I paid a coach and said, I'm going to audition. Help me prepare for these four roles. And he had great advice. And so when I went, even though I had maybe less experience than anyone else in the room, I was pretty prepped for this thing. I'd also bought the whole play and read the play, so I had the context of whatever. Anyway, I thought I might get a role. I thought I'd probably get something. I was stunned And I think I'll show this up on the video here. I was stunned when they cast me as the lead in Dracula. Hmm. And this was a paid professional production. I actually got money to do this. And some people had been acting for 10 or 15 years, and this was their first paid gig. So it was both a lot of luck, and I think you can also hear how there really wasn't a lot of luck in it at all. Mm-hmm. And one thing and if you can see the image, if people are watching the video of this, there's a couple of pictures here that I got of Dracula. that's the one that scares me the most.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So now, look, I did preparation for that. But right. Now, because I've decided to keep going in the field of acting, like, how do you do that? That's a classic field that people say, look, you're never going to make it. It's not going to happen. And if you go to LA, the joke is everyone's a waiter. No one's an actor. Well, I'm happy to play the long game. I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm still coaching. Mm-hmm. But I play the long game and I play the law of large numbers. So the first thing you need is desire. And this is a simple 3 or 4 step process that you could write down. Do you want the thing that you are dreaming about? It might be doubling your business. It might be having a celebrity endorsement. It might be, for me, it's meeting Alan Alda and hanging out at his home. Like, do you want it? Number two, do you actually believe it's possible? Can you generate that? I generated that it was possible that I would get a role in the play. That's all I needed. I had the desire. I generated. See, if you don't think it's possible, you're not going to do anything towards it. Yesterday on this film shoot, this long, arduous film shoot, we had to put patches on our jackets and you needed an iron. And they're all like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm like, well, we're in a salon. Maybe they got an iron here. And I went and asked. And she said, no, but I got a curling iron. I'll take it. All right. And then I said to the director, if you send someone to the liquor store next door, they may have an iron. Check out what he said. No way. No way they've got an iron. I'm not going to send someone. I'm like, okay. So I went and took 5 minutes, walked next door, and said to Carlos, any chance you've got an iron? And he went, come with me. Went into the back, and he brought out a hairdryer. I'm like, he said, this is industrial. It gets really hot. That thing handled all the patches. But that's just an example. So often the brain just shuts down possibility, particularly when we're scared. This is where programs and books and podcasts, but more likely one-on-one interaction, could be a therapist or a coach, can help bring out those dreams, help you generate possibility. And then this is where the focus comes in. What are you going to do? You know it's possible. I'm submitting myself to 100 plus roles a week around the country as an actor. I don't hear from almost all of them, but I don't care. Right. I just keep on submitting. And then every now and then someone comes back and says, I think you'd be great for this. We need to see another audition tape, or we're going to send you the product. It's a shoot from home ad. Like, it's starting to come in, mm-hmm. which generates more possibility.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait a minute. I just got a gig. Well, so I might get another one next week.
Yeah. Yeah. And it begins to compound. So we have this, you know, first off, do you want it? Second off, do you actually believe it's possible? What's next in kind of this framework?
The next is the action. What are you going to do? And so a really good question, because some of this stuff is scary, right? If it's a stuff that's not scary, you might have done it already. It might be getting, again, a celebrity endorsement. When I asked Jack Canfield to write the foreword to my book, that was very scary. Asking Richard Branson, getting my proposal through to him, was terrifying. But the question is, what will you do now? You know it's possible. Now, when I wanted to connect with Alan Alda from MASH, who's a hero of mine, I just, for 6 months, it was in my head. Maybe 3 years. just like the acting dream. But it never really made it out to the public. I'm like, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? Well, I was interviewing someone once on a podcast who talks about how to connect with anyone. I said, what would you do if you wanted to reach Alan Alda? And he said, I would research him and find out what he cares about. Another year goes by. I've just heard that. Another year goes by doing nothing. And I'm the action coach. And then one day I was imagining giving a speech, and I kind of daydream speeches, and I was imagining talking about Alan Alda and how I reached out to him and how it blah, 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 blah. And I said, but I didn't know what to do. And then I was like, you do know what to do. So here's the question to ask for step three. What's one step I'd be willing to take in that direction? You may not be willing to go and sing on stage to a group of people, or talk on stage, or go to an acting audition, or move to Brazil, or quit your job, or leave your relationship, or whatever it is that's scary for you. But what's one step you'd be willing to take in that direction? And the answer for me with Alan Alda was, I'd be willing to do 20 minutes of research to see what he cares about. That step led to me finding out he's passionate about communication. So am I. I'm writing a book on it. Okay, we got some overlap. He does volunteer work. He does, a lot of work for good. I do some. I'm like, okay. And then I found out he had a Patreon group. And for $45 a month, you get perks. And one perk is a live Q&A call with him once a month. So one thing led to another. And now if you actually call my phone, you get Alan Alda's voice saying, David Wood can't come to the phone right now. But it was all from this one question. What's one step I'd be willing to take? Look, sometimes I take 100 steps and nothing happens. That's okay. You gave it a shot. But often we've got these dreams, we've got these things we want, and we're just kind of immobilized by fear. And that bugs me. I don't want anyone to be immobilized by fear. Don't do it because you've chosen other stuff. I mean, if you choose not to do it because you've chosen other stuff that's more important, great. But if you're holding back on something that would make a difference in your life, particularly if you had 5 years left to live and you're not pursuing it, then I want to have a conversation with you.
Yeah. So what is that the last, is taking action kind of the last step in this framework?
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. So that's what, so simple.
What can you do? Yeah. From there, there are other steps. I mean, when I start working with my clients, sometimes they need structures. Mm-hmm. That's what's missing. They've got the desire. They've got the possibility. And they might be taking action, but it's a bit haphazard.
Right.
So I just said to a client half an hour ago, I want to see your plan. You are growing up. This client is like 33. I said, there's a maturing that's happening and your values are shifting and you're conflicted because you want to go out and party and drink. You also want to work on this business that'll make money and you have a dream. And so you're conflicted. That's fine. We're human. That's the game. I want to see your plan as an adult to say how much is going to be allocated towards partying and drinking, how much of your time and when, how much of your time is going to go towards production cycles of earning money to get that handled, and then how much will go towards your dream, which I won't go into, but I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
I like and the dream that he's come up with.
What I love is that this, you know, this simple framework, you've applied it to acting. You've applied it to something that you're personally passionate about that doesn't have much to do with your business. But this framework really applies more just to getting the things that we want. And so for this audience of a lot of business owners and small business folks, they probably have an idea, and I'm speaking from experience. So I'm kind of speaking to the mirror here. We could probably list a lot of things that we want, but then when somebody kind of says, hey, what's the one thing that you want? We have a hard time with that focused answer. So help me and our audience understand, like, why is it so important to focus? Because for our business over the last year and a half to 2 years, it seems like it's been an exact science. The more that we've focused, the more that we've grown. That's just been how it's been. And yeah, I'm guessing
it depends on your goal. If your goal is entertainment, then you don't need focus. If your goal, you just want some dopamine hits, you want to feel some adrenaline, you want to feel busy, which feels great. Oh man, I just answered this text message and Facebook. Oh look, there's a like on my thing and whoa, emails. Okay, let's crank out these emails. Like if that's a good time, which often it is, then don't change anything. It's when you realize that there are things you want in time and space that you don't have, and or you're moving towards those goals at a glacial pace. It's like, oh man, I've been at this for like 3 years and it's still not happening. Or I want to be more, move faster towards it. Then focus becomes everything. And I got this lesson from my coach like 20 years ago. God, it must be longer. I think it was 2002. So yeah, 20 years ago. I was frustrated because I had this coaching business and I was creating a training school to train coaches and it wasn't happening. I didn't have the time. And I said, I just don't have time. And she said something very simple. What you focus on, you create. And that's really all I needed. Our meeting's about to end, I think. Is that right? Oh, no, that was my Zoom meeting. So we're still good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Why don't you can you just rewind a sec to kind of mentioning and start over from that point? What you focus on, you create, because that was great.
Yeah. What she said to me is, what you focus on, you create. And it kind of stopped my brain because I thought I just needed to create more time or, you know, whatever. But I realized when she said that, I needed to carve out time if the school was important. And then I'd get to create the school. And so I did. I had to say no to some other things and say, right, Monday, Tuesday, building school. Wednesday, Thursday, coaching business. Friday, marketing, podcast, you know, all of that stuff. And so I do that a lot with my clients. They're a bit conflicted and they're like, yeah, I wish I was doing more of this, or I wish I was doing more of that. I said, you choose. I've got one client that has so many ideas. She's a bit of a mad genius. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs are like that. We see so many ideas. We see all the possibilities. It can be very uncomfortable to be inside our brains. And each session I keep coming back to, out of these 30 things that you would like to discuss, what's the leverage point? What really would have an impact? And then she thought of a new target market. And she's like, maybe I should do a video for them. I said, well, maybe. And would that pull your focus away from what you're doing now? I had another client who had this great idea. He's like, I can buy this business that's worth about maybe 1.3 million and I could get it for $1 million. And I said, all right, let's just look at this. You're saying with all your free time and with the fact that you've already hit number one in your niche and there's nowhere else to go, you've got such market penetration and all these other things that handled, and the fact that you're so bored, you'd like to take on a completely new business and revamp that and turn that around. And he's like, all right, we'll drop it. it was absolutely not right. It was a shiny object.
Yeah.
And we've got, so listeners, if you want a fun exercise, I hope it's fun. You could write down all the things that take your time and attention in a week. Take your work stuff, and that it can be a big circle on a piece of paper. All right, this is everything I do. Email, responding to this, marketing, blah, blah, blah. I do all this. And then in my family life, I handle this. I pick up the kids. I do this. I do laundry. I do whatever. In my personal life, now bringing it to me, I play squash 3 or 4 times a week. I try and walk at least 3 times a week with my dog. I have a commitment to seeing friends, a commitment to seeing my doctor, my therapist, my coach, like all of these commitments. Could write them all down, get them down in a mind map, and then start to look at which matter most and which are not getting enough attention. It might be your self-care. It might be the business. It might be your 3-year-old son. Just look at what, and again, come back to that question. If I was given 5 years to live from today, is this how my life should look? And if the answer is no, there might be some things that you cut out. You might, out of listening to this podcast, you might cut your TV in half. Boom. There's an extra hour or two every single day. You might decide, I will no longer do this in my business. You will decide, we will no longer offer this product or service. It's not really making us money. It's just a big pain in the ass. And I'm making up examples, but I think you get the
Yeah,
picture.
absolutely. Yeah, I think I love what your coach told you of what you focus on, you create. And I think a lot of business owners struggle to focus. And I encourage all of our, audience members, if this is something you're struggling with, I encourage you reach out to David. David, tell us about your book that's coming out soon.
Oh, thank you. I love talking about Mouse in the Room. We're calling it Mouse in the Room because the elephant is not alone. You know about the elephant. You see it. I see it. No one's saying anything. We all know about that. But many creatures in the room are much more subtle. It may not be this huge thing that everyone's ignoring. Maybe I'm the only one that's feeling it. So a mouse is any thought, emotion, or body sensation that you're experiencing that hasn't been revealed. And I'm writing the book because I believe we're all acting like we're in a play. I want you to see the best of me. I'm going to show what I think is okay. If I'm offended by something you did, like yesterday on this acting shoot, I'd agreed that I'd ride a motorbike to the edge of the parking lot. I haven't ridden one for 7 years. Then the director's like, all right, now we're going to get you to ride out on the street and we're going to film you going up and down. Now, it'd be very easy to not name that mouse because it wasn't an elephant because he doesn't know that there's any problem. But for me, that's not what we agreed. And I don't feel safe doing that. That's a pretty big mouse for me. And I want everyone in the world to not squash down those things. Hey, I felt disappointed when you said that. Hey, I felt really excited when you said that. Hey, I feel a lot of care hearing what you're going through. So the book's about firstly revealing our experience to ourselves so we are more aware of what we're feeling and what's going on, and then artfully naming those mice so that we can be more connected, more real, and we actually have more influence. People will want to do business with you. They will want to be around you. They will trust you. They may not know why, but it'll be because you're being more real and you're artfully naming your mice and giving them permission to do the same thing. And I believe this ripple effect could literally change the world.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And I know some of our listeners are probably thinking to themselves, like, we barely talked about business growth strategy and marketing and products and all of these things. And I know that I have realized that the healthier I am as a human and as an individual, the healthier my business is. And so I think that that's why it's important to talk about some of these topics that you're talking about, which, yes, they cross over into both worlds. But I think, like we said at the beginning, like you are a life and business coach for business owners. And I imagine those things cross over quite often. So as we bring this to a close, David, I want to thank you for joining us. And then also, where can people learn more about you and also learn more about your upcoming book?
Thank you. And I just want to double click on something you just said. You can't stop the crossover between mindset and business. So it might sound like we're navel gazing and we're talking about just mindset, but you want to bring focus to your business. Look at your marketing methods. How many are you trying to be good at? Where can you focus? How many products do you have or services? Where can you focus? Who are your key staff? And how can you focus? So it comes in absolutely everywhere where you want to generate results. I just happen to work with business owners because that's fun for me. I'm an entrepreneur. And where people can find out more about me, if you want to be part of my world in some way, I created a link that'll take you to a hidden page on my website where you'll have a number of options. You can join my mailing list. I send a couple of videos a week. You can subscribe to my podcast, Extraordinary Focus. At that link, you can request a session with me. I think I'm calling it a Double Your Revenue Audit, which is a very boring title, but most people want to double their revenue. So I call it that, but be warned, I will ask some very probing questions about your life before we even get on the phone. And that session is to see if coaching even makes sense for you and if we'd be a fit. You can also get your preview of Mouse in the Room. We've already got a mini book available. And you can do all of these things at the same link. And I tried to make it very memorable. MyFocusGift.com. Just go to MyFocusGift.com. It'll take you to that hidden page on my website. And you can join me in whichever sphere feels right for you.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, we will certainly have that linked in the show notes. And to those listening, head to myfocusgift.com. David, this has been wonderful. And I look forward to, this is the first time that we've met, but I look forward to staying in touch and watching you on your journey and seeing how this new book for you impacts a lot of lives, because it's an important message. So thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Good to meet you, Seth.
Thank you.
This podcast was produced by StoryOn Media and Marketing, and our passion is helping small businesses use stories to grow their business, and we create a community that helps you do just that. So if you don't have the budget to hire a big agency, but you really want to learn how to navigate online marketing, how to tell better stories, and really how to build a brand that lasts, then our program, Success with Stories Elite, is for you. Every single week, we give you new trainings, content ideas, and content blueprints to make marketing with stories easy. To join our community, head over to www.successwithstories.com/elite, or just click on the link in our show notes. Again, that's successwithstories.com/elite. Have an awesome day, and let us know what you loved about this episode by leaving a review on iTunes or your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you so much. My name is Seth Silvers, and I will see you next time.